for this Reformation Sunday. I want to speak to you for a few moments around the subject, everything in moderation. Everything in moderation. If you turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 18, beginning with the 24th verse. Acts chapter 18, beginning with verse 24. Acts 18, 24, when you have it, say amen. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. May God add a blessing to the hearing and the doing of his holy word. Please pray with me. Almighty God, our heavenly nurturer, you are the supplier of all of our needs, the sustainer of our life, the lover of our souls. We beg and implore you this morning to rush into this sanctuary like a tidal wave. Don't just get us wet, Lord, but drown us in your Holy Spirit. May our minds, bodies, and hearts be drenched by your word. And then, Lord, give us an insatiable appetite to know you more and more. May we hunger and thirst to be closer to you and to become more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We live in a day and age when Christians attempt to live by the old adage, everything in moderation. And that sounds so reasonable. It seems so practical. It appears to be so biblical. Everything in moderation. If you take any area of your life, moderation seems to work better than excess every time. For example, the drinking of alcohol in moderation is widely accepted as a determinant for one's overall good health. Eating in moderation has been shown by scientific studies to cut down on the risk of heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, and general bad health. Watching TV should be done in temperance, for research now confirms that not only do we become couch potatoes, but our minds become mashed potatoes. For in watching too much television, we no longer exercise our mental muscle or cultivate our intellectual prowess. Everything in moderation. A constant attitude of consumerism only leaves us cold and bored until we go out and purchase the next item or the latest product to entertain us. Everything in moderation. You've all heard the saying, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. Well, workaholics have no time to enjoy the fruits of their labor. And working so much can be a sign of hiding from your problems. But the opposite is also real. All play and no work, not only makes one lazy, but ushers in a state of poverty. Everything in moderation. Educators have discovered that much more significant learning takes place when it's a reasonable amount of information received at one time. It's not the quantity of the lessons, but the quality of the comprehension by the students that's important. It's the same mantra for speeches. Even the most eloquent speaker's rhetoric is forgotten quickly after the speech has been given. So political speeches are now often short and to the point, with just one theme outlined and repeated over and over again. The political soundbite has proven to compensate the short attention span of most voters. Everything in moderation. Church services on one day should be limited. Oh, you got quiet. You can probably have too much church in one day. I remember when I was a child staying with my grandparents, we'd often go to church in the morning, come home for a few hours, and go back to worship in the afternoon and stay until it was almost dark. How many of you would like to be in church all day and part of the evening? Yeah, no takers, right? One. But we know Jennifer is unique. Even Southern Baptists now want a limit on their service time. So we go around acting out that mantra, everything in moderation. Everything in moderation, we believe it. And we pat ourselves on the back thinking that this is the godly and spiritual way in which we should live. Even reading the Bible and studying God's word, we have a moderation attitude. You did not sign up to become a monk or a nun, living high up on some remote and secluded mountaintop retreat, where you're to spend every minute of every day contemplating the words of God. Therefore, you go to the other extreme, saying to yourself, just a little bit of Bible reading is all I need. And we think that significant time to study God's word is for those in seminary. It's for Bible geeks. Or it's for those who are frustrated wannabe pastors. If there is a significant increase in your reading of scriptures, then you've moved from being a normal Christian to a religious fanatic. Like everything else, reading the Bible should be done in moderation, right? But there was a man of God by the name of Apollos who would beg to differ with you. Our introduction to Apollos is brief. The physician Luke tells us that the Apostle Paul traveled to Ephesus to visit with his friends Priscilla and Aquila. And it is here that we meet Apollos. Apollos was an African Jew born in Alexandria of Egypt. Apollos was described as an eloquent speaker, and he was well versed in the Old Testament scriptures. Apollos became a disciple of John the Baptist and zealously taught the prophecies concerning the Messiah and the baptism of repentance. Apollos was an excellent communicator of the gospel. Wherever he spoke, crowds gathered in the synagogue and in the public square to hear this brother preach. I tell you, Apollos was deep. Apollos could paint you a word picture so that you could visualize the information that he was putting forth. Apollos could break down the scriptures in such a way that everybody in his audience would not only understand, but be moved to receive Christ. No doubt that Apollos was so gifted because he knew the word of the Lord so well. Apollos loved the scripture. He taught understanding the scripture and tried to live the scripture better than most of those around him. However, we're told that when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the ways of God more adequately. That's right. Apollos desired to know more about Christ. Apollos didn't say, well, Priscilla and Aquila, I appreciate your efforts, but I kind of got this God stuff down pat. Apollos didn't say, there are no holes in my theology, no gaps in my spirituality. In fact, I could teach you both a thing or two about our faith. Priscilla and Aquila, I'm the one drawing the crowd. Don't you know I'm a graduate from the Egyptian seminary? I can parse Greek nouns and conjugate verbs. But Apollos was receptive to what God still had to teach him. Even though Apollos was knowledgeable, he wanted to know more. Even though Apollos was a powerful preacher, he wanted to know more about the Lord. You and I, we have a million excuses for why we refuse new scripture learning opportunities. Did you know that on Mondays the women have a Bible study every week? Hello, somebody. Did you know that on Wednesday mornings the men have a Bible study? Thursday morning is a Bible study that I lead. The first Wednesday, this coming up this Wednesday, we have prayer right before, praying with power. But after that, we're getting into the John 10:10 project, which is all about knowing more about God from His Word. I've never had it happen in my 35 years as a pastor for any congregation to ask me, Pastor, could you lead us in more Bible study? Could we have one in the evening? Could we have one on Saturday afternoon? Could we have more Bible studies so that everybody, according to their schedule, would have time? But we have excuses, and some good excuses. And I found many over the years, but the following are my favorites. Excuse number one, you already know enough about the Scriptures. Just an occasional refreshing moment will do. Some of us have this arrogant believing we know enough about God because we went to Sunday school way back when. Or we know enough about God because we saw the movie. Let me ask you this. Will a little bit of food keep you going each day? I want you to eat only the equivalent in ounces of food for the minutes that you read God's Word. Is there anybody here this morning that wouldn't die of starvation or malnutrition? Just a little bit of weekly scripture? How about you reduce your weekly blood pressure medicine to the same amount of minutes spent in God's Word? Is there anybody here that wouldn't lose their equilibrium or suffer dizziness? What about if you reduce the amount of TV time each day to how many minutes you spend in God's Word? You wouldn't be able to complete watching a half-hour sitcom or two quarters of a ball game. What about reducing your spending to the amount of time you spend in God's Word? For every minute that you read the Bible, you can spend $1. You could barely buy half a dress. Less is not more when it comes to God's Word. Excuse number two. The Bible is too boring and it's irrelevant to my life. If it wasn't so historical, I mean, if it was more real, you know, to speak to, you know, the situations and issues of modern times, you know, then I might. Excuse me? What Bible have you been reading? The Scriptures read like a modern novel. The Bible holds nothing back. It speaks about deceit in business, corruption in government, sexual immorality, betrayal of friends, war and diplomacy, death and emotional instability, rebellious youth, senseless violence, dysfunctional families, political intrigue, and religious fanaticism. When it comes to Scriptures, moderation doesn't work. Excuse number three, the Bible is too difficult to understand. It's too complex and too intricate for anyone to interpret. Who really knows what the Bible means anyways? So you and I do not make the effort to learn anything new about God. Apollos shows us that knowing God's word does not come without effort and without continuing education. Of course, we know that in life, nothing worth achieving comes easily. In areas of life where I really want to succeed, I will invest the time, the energy, even the pain necessary to excel. Why shouldn't God have my best when it comes to his inspired word? And just like Apollos, if you will share in fellowship and studying the scriptures, you will gain more understanding. And last but not least, my favorite excuse, number four. It won't change anything in my life. If I get more into God's word, it's not going to make any difference. But don't you realize that the Bible is the living word of God? Jesus is the word made flesh. God's word generates life. It creates faith. It produces change. It frightens the devil. It causes miracles. It heals hurts. It builds character. It transforms negative circumstances. It imparts joy. It overcomes adversity. It defeats temptation. It infuses hope. It releases power. It cleanses our minds. And it guarantees our future in eternity. Everything in moderation? Not when it comes to God's word. Sisters and brothers, spend more daily time in God's word, and you won't regret it. Amen.